Our Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the ministry of your word and of your spirit amongst us. We ask that tonight our eyes are open, with unveiled hearts, with unveiled minds, we'll behold your Son Jesus Christ, and as we see him, we'll see ourselves as he sees us in him. We ask that just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. But every heart open to your word, we will all be nourished up with understanding. We will all be nourished up in devotion to your will and your work. We ask that every man will see that plan, that path that you have pre-planned, set afore time before us to walk in. We ask that as a result of tonight's session, we'll be enlightened. The eyes of our understanding will be opened. We'll be enlightened by your word. We will find greater identification in your word. In our hearts, we will glorify your word. In our conduct, we will glorify your name, as we all will be edified. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 28. So Jesus says, all power, someone say, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So we said in the morning that Jesus or Matthew, so who now? Praise God. Both Jesus and Matthew agreed at something. Are we together? Or we saw an agreement in Jesus and also in Matthew. That is the way Matthew is recording. Matthew is telling us that the life and the ministry of Jesus are a fulfillment of the Old Testament books. Are we together? We saw that very clearly in the morning. I mean, I kept on emphasizing, as though I were teaching some people in lower classes. Are we together? But that's how God's word is. You have to emphasize again, and ensure that people do not leave the service with what you did not see. Is it clear? Alright. So we said that Jesus was a teacher from the Old Testament. We started out yesterday night. And then we said that Jesus' life also fulfills the scripture. Are we there? Then we said that to know God's plan today, you have to know God's plan yesterday. Are we together? What God is doing on the earth is the same, consistent across the ages. So he wants the believer in Christ today, who is tasked with a mission, to go into the Bible to understand what the mission is. I remember I started out saying in the morning that you can't hold God responsible for the things he did not promise. Are we together? Now, also, the B part of that statement is what I'll make now. Are we together? Now, as a teacher of God's word, you must learn not to say everything at once. Are we together? Are we together? You must measure what the audience can receive. So, the B part of that statement is what I'll say now. And it is that you also, are we together? I said earlier, you can't hold God responsible for what he did. Are we there? To avoid disappointment. Now, the B part of that also is that you cannot serve God on your own terms. You can't assume that something you call serving God is actually serving God. Are we together? So that now, the first statement is to prevent disappointment. I said that right? Right? You prevent disappointment. The second one also prevents disappointment on the day of the Lord. Because now you've spent all your resources, all your life and energy, building something that God was not building. That's a waste of time. In Psalm 127, are we together from verse 1? He says, build the house. Are we together? Except the Lord build the house. So God in scripture is described as a builder. Are we together? When he came in the flesh, one of the things Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he says, upon this rock I will build my church. So God is described as a builder. Are we together? That is why everyone who is working for God or walking with the Lord is also described as a builder. Paul will say, I am a wise master builder. In fact, at the point, Paul turns to the church at Corinth, he says, you are God's building. Are we together? You are God's building. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. For the what? For the edification or the edifying of the what? Of the body of Christ. Now, that word edify is the same word that implies building up. Are we together? The building up. The building up. So, God's work on the earth today is described as God is building something. Are we together? He is building something. So, as a believer, as the, this is discipleship coming. So, we have disciples. It's a disciples conference. Amen? You can call it a shepherd's conference. Are we together? Are we together? So, as disciples of Christ, I must also know what God is building. It is not enough for me to say I am working for God. You must find out what God is doing, or else it's a waste of energy. Are we together? You cannot assume. So I make those two statements in one breath. You cannot assume that you know God's promise. Are we together? You also cannot assume that you know what God is doing. We have to find out. Obviously, from the scriptures. So I told you that the Bible was given to you, and the Bible is this big. Amen? Because a work has been given to what? To you. The Bible has been given to you because a mission, an assignment has been given to you. Is it clear? Is it clear? I mean, if all we needed to do was just get born again and go to heaven, probably just don't. We don't need the Bible to be this big. Maybe our Bible just be 3 pages. Are we there? The first page, oh, you are a sinner, believe. And then, you know, the first page says, oh, sin. And then the second one will say, oh, the second page will say, Christ died for your sins. And then the third one will say, believe, congratulations. Are we together? And they go to heaven? No. There's a walk. Tell your neighbor, say, there's a walk. Hallelujah. There's a what? There's a mission. There's a lifelong mission. That's what we saw in the morning. That God is at work on the earth. Hallelujah. He is at work on the earth. So Jesus says, all authority is given to me upon his resurrection. And we said yesterday night and this morning that authority is always given for the sake of activities. Are we there? So if Jesus rises from the dead, and the conclusion of the statement he made is that authority is given unto him, that means the resurrection was the beginning. Are we there? Rather than a finality, the resurrection was actually a starting point. Hence, the instruction that says, go ye therefore. Are we together? Go ye therefore. The challenge with many Christians is that we don't exactly know why we are born again. Christians don't know why they are born again. Part of those perplexing questions. Are we together? Christians don't know why we're born again. And that is why when the answer is given, when that question is answered, why you are born again, you'll find a believer given out, sold out to purpose. Are we together? Why we're born again? That is why the churches are there. The churches exist to show believers why they are born again. The churches of God are not around to entertain Christians. No. The churches of God are not around to make Christians feel at home in this world. No. Are we together? The churches of God are on the earth to help you and I, believers in Christ, as many as have come to the kingdom of God through faith in the resurrection of Jesus, the churches of God are on the earth to help us to know why we are born again. Glory to God forevermore. That's why Paul in Ephesians 1:18, he says in 17, he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He says in 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who do believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world which is to come, has given Him the head He has given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. And you which were dead in sins and trespasses, are we together? Ephesians 1 verse 17 down to chapter 2 verse 1, I just quoted. Are we there? So look at that. He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Are we there? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Then he says that you may know, hallelujah, that you may know. God wants believers to know, hallelujah, hallelujah. So look at it. Knowledge is something to go for. Go for knowledge. Believers who do not know become vulnerable to the enemy. Are we there? In Ephesians 4, Abel said, He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. It is for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come in the knowledge of the Son of God. So God wants you to know. Hallelujah. Why did he say that you will know the Son of God? Why does he say you will know the Son of God? Because your identity is in Him. Hallelujah. Your identity is in the Son of God. Hallelujah. Then your possessions are also in Him. The things that we have gotten by the resurrection of Jesus, they are disclosed, unveiled in Him. The believer does not know who he is as long as Jesus is not clear to him. He doesn't know. Because Paul describes you as being in Christ. Hallelujah. So if I'm in Christ, I need to know Christ. Then I know who I am. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, everyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Before we look at what we have this evening. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1, are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. Praise God. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 1 verse what? What do you have there? No. That's not the text I'm looking for. Praise God. Praise God. What did I just quote? 1 Corinthians 1. Are we together? Wait, is it 2 Corinthians 1? 2 Corinthians 1, sorry. 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse what? 7. No. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Don't mind me. A lot of scriptures are in my brain. Are we together? Are we together? Oh. Hallelujah. Alright. Let me see. Yes, it's verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Don't mind me. I've taught 1,000 times with the text. It's just like, that's what happens when you don't write text. Because I didn't plan to talk from it. Are we together? So look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Why did I forget? It's fine. Amen. Amen. So let's read together. I want to go. God is what? Someone say, God is faithful. Hallelujah. Someone say, God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. Someone say, God is faithful. So look at Paul. Paul is talking about the faithfulness of God. Now, look at it today. You know, sometimes someone says, how are you? Then he say, I'm fine. Or someone say, what do people say again? That maybe you say God is faithful. Someone say, maybe someone say, how are you doing? Then someone says, how are you doing? And then they're saying, fine. They're saying, God has been faithful. You know, we say that a lot, right? God has been faithful. And when we say God is faithful, yes, He is. Many times when we say God is faithful, we are talking about the goodness of God in our lives, right? For example, let's say the fact that I'm alive. We say, no, it's the faithfulness of God. And that's true. Then, someone say, you know, I remember when I was younger, when we sing, someone would say, oh, that there's this song that says, look at the people that are dead. Are we together? And, you know, look at the people that are dead. Look at the people that are in prison. You know, there are songs like that. And says, oh, thank God because you are not in prison. Who knows one of those kind of songs? Okay, what kind of song? What song? Give me one. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, we know the song, right? It says, awon egbe mi ti ku, awon egbe mi ti lo. Are we together? Awon kan wa lewon, right? Awon kan se ba. Find bar, you know. So it's okay, okay, it's okay. That's not my focus. Don't go to find bar. Are we together? Are we together? So, but we have a way of singing those songs that shows that, oh, thank God because we are in a better place, isn't it? And that's okay. Are we together? But if you observe the scriptures well, the goodness of God was built on something different. The faithfulness of God, inasmuch as thank God for the goodness we enjoy, His mercy, His loving kindness, His compassion. But the faithfulness of God is actually built on the fact that God fulfills His promise. Are we together? Look at the text we just read, 1 Corinthians 1:9. Look at that text. Can we take the text together? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then in verse 9. Want to go? Faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So He calls the faithfulness of God. He says, the faithfulness of God is seen in the fact that we have been brought into fellowship with Jesus. No, wait. How about that? How about that? Hallelujah. How about that? That means so much premium. Let me get some volume here. Praise God. So much premium has been placed on salvation in the scriptures that you and I also need to place on salvation. You know, many times we don't really regard, you know, salvation, the things of the kingdom of God, like other things. Hallelujah. Like when we come in church, in our churches, you see, many times people come and then they share testimonies. And then we're like, these are the mighty things that God has done. Someone says, oh, I went for an interview. I did not even know the manager. I did not even drop CV. They just called me. You know, very funny interviews. They just call me. Interviews that can put the manager of that company in trouble. He said, they just called me. And I didn't even perform well. You know, I was not even dressed well. I got the job. Everybody say, ah, thank God. Are we together? And truly, 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 thank God. Amen. Then I say, oh, I was sick. They say, I was sick. I went to the doctor. They say, I have 2 days to leave. And I come. Oh, I celebrate grace. And hands were laid on me. And I was healed. That's beautiful. Are we together? But many times, we glorify the lesser things. Are we together? We glorify the lesser things. I was in a meeting like that, that people had given testimonies. Then someone now came. He says, he came, a brother, a younger brother. Then he says, my testimony is that I got born again yesterday. Then everybody were quiet, including me, waiting for the testimony. Are we together? So, whereas the salvation of that soul is what Jesus said causes joy in heaven. Are we together? Are we together? I mean, it's nice that you bought the car. Pastor, rejoice with me. I rejoice. Thank you. Are we together? Even though it's going to break down. Not my wish. It just happens. Nigeria. Amen. If you're on Tanki Road, are we together? Praise God. So they, I thank God I gave birth to a child. Well, thank God for the new baby boy. Are we together? But you must be prepared to raise a child that lies. Are we together? There's nothing wrong. Amen. Amen. But look at this. That which is the gift of God, then we treat it as a lesser gift. No. Hallelujah. We place premium on salvation. So Paul said, the faithfulness of God is seen in salvation. Now look at what he calls salvation. He says we have been brought into fellowship. The word fellowship there is the word koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Koinonia in the Greek. Now koinonia means oneness. Hallelujah. It means to have a common identity. That means what God did in Christ was to bring us into a common identity with Him. Hallelujah. God brought us into a common identity with His Son. With His Son. A common identity, a oneness with Him. Then He says that is the faithfulness of God. Why? Because that means that common identity which God fulfills in Christ Jesus was His promise. For Him to be called faithful, it means at the point of bringing us into one identity with Christ, He is fulfilling what He has said. Because faithfulness means to do what you have said. Are we together, church? So He says, God is faithful. So it was on that premise that I said that the believer's identity is hidden in Christ. Look at this. If it was said of you that you have a common identity with someone, then you want to find out about that person. Because that means when the person is known, who will be known? You. Are we together, church? When the person is understood, then you will discover who you are. So the believer's identity is hidden in Christ. And that is the reason why. Because look at this. The scriptures does not talk about you. The scriptures talk about Him. But you are in Him. So you need to find out about Him in the scriptures so that who you are will be clear to you. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So the believer is in Him. Our responsibilities are in Him. Our identity as the church of God is in Him. I showed you Matthew 16. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. So one of your descriptions is that we are described as His church. That means you need to know Him to know who you are. We are His church. Someone say His church. So quickly, let's get into our story. In Matthew 28, He says, go into all the world and make disciples. So we said, there is a mission, right? A mission from Genesis. Look at what Matthew does, or what Matthew did. Matthew said, Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Now, if Jesus comes and He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth, I don't need to stress this evening to show you that that authority will be the authority of Genesis. Are we together? Are we together? From what we saw in the morning. The authority that Jesus is talking about will therefore refer to the authority found where? In Genesis. Are we together? Are we together? You know, I told you to know His mission. Now, authority is for a mission. So to know His mission, you go into Genesis. So if He says, I have an authority, you have to find out what is the authority in Genesis or what is the mission in Genesis. If you see the mission in Genesis, you know what the authority is for Him for. Is it clear? Is it clear? So the authority in Genesis 28, verse 20 or verse 18, is an authority that will be found in Genesis. Well, we have to go into the books of Genesis to see what is the mission there, and is there an authority spoken for in Genesis? Jesus is saying that authority belongs to me. Notice also critically that in His words, He says, All authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. By mentioning in heaven and in earth, it takes your mind back to the opening text of the Bible. Are we together? In the beginning, God created what? Heaven and the earth. Are we together? So Jesus is saying, you will need to go into Genesis to see. Now, obviously, I showed us yesterday that the Matthew 28 text which you just read, notice that is the Luke 24 text. Do I need to show you that? If I show you that, I'll take much time tonight. Are we together? Okay, let's do it. Are we together? Now, go to Matthew 28. Everybody. I want to use 2 minutes to do what I usually do in about 2 hours. Quickly. Matthew 28. Amen. 2 minutes is gone. Are we together? So, Matthew 28, everyone. Are you there? Hold your finger there. You know, Jesus said, look at this. Jesus said, search the what? The scriptures. For those of you that bring phone to service, oh yeah, hold your hands in Matthew. Go to Luke. Oh yeah, go to John. I want to punish you tonight. Oh yeah, go to Leviticus. In the same text. Hallelujah. It's just good to hold your Bible. Say my Bible. Hallelujah. So look at this. A Christian that does not have Bible, only mission by. Hallelujah. So hold your hands in Matthew 28, Mark 16. Hold your hands in Mark 16. Go to Luke 24. Don't go to church services without dear believer. Look at your neighbor, say, dear believer. Where is your Bible? Are we together? You know, you have to have dear so the person does not feel. So, say, dear believer, do you have your Bible? Now, answer the person. Answer the person. Say, dear believer, where is your Bible? Are we together? And I think there was one song like that. I said, Christiani, where is your sword? Now, the Bible is not sword, though, but I kind of like it. Are we together? I kind of like it. Someone said to cast out devil, just point. The demon collected the Bible. Yes! He says, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God, not the Bible. Are we together? They say, is the Bible not the word of God? Okay, I will explain later. Amen! But you don't point your Bible. Someone went to point the Bible to the rain. Point you to stop. I will not say anything. But the rain beat the Bible and said, praise God. You see, the sword of the Spirit is actually the word of God in your mouth. Are we there? That's how it was taught. Ephesians 6. The word of God in your mouth, not the Bible that you are holding. Is it clear? Is it clear? So are you in Mark? Are you in Mark? Now go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Let me too use my Bible. Luke 24. Now, go to John 20. How many fingers are you using now? Are you in John 20? Now, go to Acts chapter 1. Wala for Unohood Bible. Are we together? A sign that you are born again is that you go into services with your Bible. See, I'm not ashamed of the Bible. Are we together? Bible. Have one. Have plenty Bibles. I have many. Amen. So look at this. In Matthew 28, so I want us to follow the trend, okay? So I'll be able to show you. So which one should we start from? Matthew, right? Now, you are going to read a few verses before the main verses. So in Matthew 28, look at verse. So I'll show you the trend. Matthew 28. Look at verse Okay, look at verse 10. I'll read, okay, but follow me. Said Jesus, "Not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed to the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave a large money to the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night to steal away while you slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." Are we together? 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught, saying, and this same reported among the Jews unto this day. 7 disciples went away to what? Galilee. Someone say, Galilee. I said that so you remember. Into a what? Mountain. Someone say, mountain. Where Jesus had what? Appointed. Say, Jesus appointed. So a mountain in Galilee, Jesus told them to come to, right? 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Are we together? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me help you a bit. Don't go to Mark now, go to Acts. I want to show you something. Acts. Hold your hands in all of those texts too. But look at the Acts 1 text. Be fast. Are you in Acts 1? Okay. Look at verse 2. Or I'll read from verse 1. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Wait. Verse 2. "Until the day which he was what? Taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." That means there was a post-resurrection address by Jesus to his disciples. Right? Can I get responses? I need your mind. Alert and focus. Can I get responses? So look at verse 3. Put it together. Once you go. "To whom also he showed himself alive." Who are the people he showed himself to? Verse 2. Is it disciple you read here? I know it's disciple, but what did you read here? Apostles. Notice the change. This is not the conference where I explained that to you. But there's a switch from disciple to apostles. You notice the switch. Later on. But look at this. Amen. He says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion." He says, "By many what? Infallible proofs." Can we read down? "Being seen of them," how many days? 40 days. "And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of..." So Jesus, Luke is saying that when Jesus rose from the dead, he spoke to his disciples for how many days? 40 days. Now he says, "Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." That means he was teaching. So Jesus taught his disciples for 40 solid days after the resurrection. Are we together? Are we together? Notice that the day that they spoke with tongues in the book of Acts 2 was the day of the Pentecost, right? Now, if you go back to Leviticus, and then you go back to, yeah, that was Exodus and Leviticus, Moses had instructed them regarding feasts and gave them the feast of the Pentecost. Now he told them that the feast of the Pentecost will be counted from the Sabbath day. Sorry, the Passover. Are we together? The Passover. The Passover feast was to celebrate the period that God did what? Passed over the people, right? That was the same night they were taken out of what? Egypt. Are we together? So the Passover was to signify deliverance. Are we there? So he told them, if you look at those texts, that they were going to count 7 Sabbath days from the Passover. Are we there? Now, if you're counting 7 Sabbath days, that will be how many days in all? Mathematicians, that will be how many days in all? That will be 49 days. Are we together? Then he said, the last day. Are we together? So look at this. This is the, let's say today is the Sabbath day. And then they were going to count from there 49 days. Then the next day after the 7th Sabbath day, which will be the 50th day, he said they will celebrate the feast of what? The feast of what? The Pentecost. Are we together? The feast of Pentecost. I wonder what for Pentecost means new beginnings. They were going to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost from the word 5, right? Pent. You know your pentagon, right? 5. So you have Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover. Are we there? So don't forget that Jesus himself was crucified around the Passover. If you read your Bible well, he was crucified around the feast of the Passover. Are we there? In fact, they quickly took down his body because it was around the feast. Are we together? Of the Passover. So that means Jesus, upon his resurrection, he takes 40 days with them. Amen. To show you that the events of the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost were 10 days after. Are we together? That's just a little bit of detail. Now you see why I said that shortly. Look at that text again. He says, being seen of them how many days? 40 days. Now he says, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now where will he be teaching from? Can I get responses? Where will he be teaching from? The Old Testament. For how many days? 40 days after his what? Resurrection. Are we together? So look at this. If you go into Matthew quickly, if you go into Matthew chapter 28 and then you read verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they did what? They worshipped him, but some doubted. So can we take 18 together? And Jesus came and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Are we together? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, leading them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, that means whatever we have read from verse 18 to 20 was the summary of how many days teaching? 40 days. You know, if you read 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, Jesus couldn't have showed up and in 40 days, all the authority is given to me. And hey, I told him, all authority is given to me. Come, do you remember all authority is given to me? That couldn't be what he was saying. Are we together? But Matthew is giving us a summary of what it took Jesus how many days to explain. 40 days. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, verse 18, 19, 20, 3 verses for a 40-day teaching. What a summary. What a summary. It looks like we are in trouble. Are we together? How can we get what he was saying? You can't even summarize what I've said since yesterday night in 3 verses. But look at this. It implies that all that he said in 40 days were built around this. Are we together? So I usually tell you, this is the way to read verse 18. And Jesus came and kept saying unto them, all authority is what? Given unto me. He kept saying, that means in the 40 days, this is what he kept what? Saying. This is what is built upon. Is that clear? Now look, Mark 6 quickly. So much for 2 minutes. Mark 16. So when he says all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, Luke said he was speaking of things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. So Moses' heaven and earth in Genesis is describing what? The kingdom of God. Are we together? Are we together? We're going to Genesis now. Don't worry. All of us, we enter one bus, we get there. Amen. So look at Mark. Mark 16. Where do we pick this text from? So that we can see that it was the same thing Matthew was writing. Can we see verse what now? Find it, let me know. Verse what? Verse 5. Wow. You're giving us work to do. That's fine. So, and entering into sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, okay? Then he said, and he said unto him, be not afraid. You see, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place. So again, are these the events of the resurrection? Okay, now look at verse 7, everyone. That makes sense now. Verse 7. Are you in verse 7? But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into, there shall you, as he said unto. So the same event we saw in Matthew. Now look at what Mark said in verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Can we take 15? And go and preach what? So is this the Mark's version of Matthew 28? He says, he that believes that is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. 17. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. He says, they shall speak with new tongues. He says, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. They shall recover. Can we take 19 and 20 together? Once you go. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and sat down on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs. So, look at this. The summary of the 40-day teaching will be verse what? Verse what? Verse 14 to 18. Did you get it? Look at John. I want to look last. Look at John. John, the summary of the 40-day teaching. In John chapter 20, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, verse 17. For I have not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I will ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came to show disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came soon in the midst of them. He said and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Now, you and I know this verse 21 is a summary of a lot of things. Are we together? And when he had said this, he breathed on them. He said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained unto them. Was Jesus giving them the power to forgive and not forgive sins? No. This was rather John's way of rendering go and preach the gospel. Are we together? So, according to John 20, how do we remit people's sin? That is, we get involved in the process of remission of sins. That is by preaching to them. How do we retain people's sins? Are we together? He says, when we preach to them and they do not believe, their sins are retained. So don't mind the way John puts it. It looks as though you are the one doing it. No, John was actually saying you are an active part of what is happening. Because you are the one ministering the gospel, and the forgiveness of sins is inside what you are ministering. Are we together? Now look at Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 24 now, he says, now, let me ask you a question. Which of the two accounts of Jesus' teaching will fall into the 40 days. Will it be verse 25 to 27 or 45 to 47? He didn't even look at it. I know you know it. Will it be 44 to 47? Did he actually end in 47? Huh? Look at verse 44. Or look at 25 first. 25. It says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slew about the believer that the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village whither they went, as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. And the day was fast spent, and went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked to us, he says, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord had risen indeed, and had appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto him, peace unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that it was a ghost, is a sinning spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he has thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, said unto them, have you any meat? They gave him a piece of bread fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Now look at 47. So 44 was another teaching period. 44 is what then captures what Luke in Acts. Notice it was the same writer. The same person that we are reading here was the same one who gave us Luke 1 account of 40 days. Are we together? So if you look at what Luke has to say here, he says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand this. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it be of Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at what? Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them into heaven. Are we together? And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Are we together? So you observe that all these accounts are complementary, but each had its own what? Unique detail. Is it clear? So look at this. What Matthew said, don't forget out of the way. What Matthew said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Are we together? Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. We said that was a statement for how many days? That was a summary of a 40-day explanation of Jesus. So Luke makes it clear to us in Acts 1 and in Luke 24 that Jesus actually engaged his disciples. He was teaching them for 40 days. So if Matthew says, authority is given unto me, that means for the 40 days, Jesus was teaching from where? The Old Testament. Are we together? Chiefly what? Genesis. Is it clear? So to know that authority, you and I will have to go to the book of Genesis.
Are we together? Are we together? Now look at Genesis 1 quickly. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, he says, verse 1, in the beginning. Are we together? God did what? Created the heaven and the earth. Now, the very first thing you notice was that when he says God created the heaven and the earth, Moses uses his words, or should I put it that way? Or I should come back and say Matthew uses his words, right? Because Moses had written first. So I can't say Moses used his words like Matthew. No. Rather, Matthew uses his words like what? Like Moses. Are we together? Are we together? Now look at this. All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Hear attention. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Was that Jesus' statement? Matthew's summary of Jesus' statement. Someone say, but it is in red. I'm sorry for you. Are we together? Are we together? So, look at this. Did Jesus actually use those words? Are we together? Well, whether he uses it or he does not use it, we know that what we are reading is Matthew's what? Summary. So Matthew was the one who chose those words. What Jesus said must have been more elaborate. That is why you will not find the same words in Matthew in Mark. You will rather find the same concept, the same subject. Are we together? In fact, you will even read the same wordings in Matthew. You won't read it in Mark. You will not read the same wordings in Luke. You will not read the same wordings in John. Are we together? You won't even read the same wordings in the book of Acts. In the two texts that Luke himself wrote, the two texts that Luke himself wrote, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, in explaining the same event, he does not use the same words. Are we together? Well, I think there is no question as to whether Jesus said those things. Yes, he did. The question is, were those the words he used? Well, that doesn't really matter in this story. Is it clear? What matters is that that was what he was communicating. Are we there? So if you observe the way Matthew uses the word, Matthew says, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Are we together? So we see something quickly. That the authority in Matthew 28, the authority that Jesus has, look at this, is the authority of heaven and earth. Amen. The authority that Jesus said is given to him is the authority of what? Heaven and earth. Look at this. I know you don't get it. It is not the authority of heaven and then authority of earth. No. Heaven and earth are presented as a single entity in those two statements. Are we together? Heaven and earth. You know, there is heaven and then there is earth. And they are two distinct realities. But in the text, they are explained as a single reality. So when he says, all authority is given unto me, he couldn't be saying, authority is given to me in heaven. All authority is also given to me where? In earth. For example, look at this. Jesus does not have all the authority that is on the earth. That might shock you. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Sit down. Amen. Some people, the authority to lock people in prison belong to Jesus. Are you with me? Nations have authorities. For example, the president of our nation can do some things and undo some things. That authority is not Jesus' authority. Is it clear? But does Jesus have authority? So look at this. That means you need to be careful when we say that Jesus has authority in heaven and on earth. You need to explain what you mean. Are we together? Because I will now show you that there are rights on earth, privileges on earth. In fact, there are even places that Jesus is locked away from. Nations where the gospel is not accepted. You dare not go there and preach the gospel. That means your authority in that place is not yet his own. So calm down. Are we together? This is how to read the Bible. By not assuming what the writer is saying, but by finding out. Is it clear? So when he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I know sometimes when we read that text, what comes to our mind is that Jesus has power everywhere. Are we together? That means, how do I put it? Sometimes what comes to our mind when we make that statement is Jesus is God, God has that power. You are right. But that is not what the text is saying. Is it clear? When he says all of is given unto me in heaven and in earth, it is important for you to note that heaven and earth is taught there as a single entity. If you do not go to Genesis, you won't understand what I'm saying. So we need to get to Genesis. So in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Now look at verse 2. He says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, what comes to your mind when you are reading this text? You are reading what? Okay, you are reading the counsel of God in what form? People are easy to chop. You are reading the counsel of God in what form? Parables. Why is he in a parable form? The state of heart of the audience. Are we together? What are parables? Illustrations. What are illustrations? The use of what I know to explain or communicate what they want me to know. Are we together? Those parables, they are also answers to what? Perplexing questions. Are we together? Which are in the hearts of men who do not yet know God or the will of God. Is that basics? Is that basic enough? So if you are reading, the earth was without form and void. Is the Hebrew word tohu wabohu. We'll look at that if we have time. He says the earth was without form and void. Why would you say the earth that God created? Because he says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Then he now says, the earth was without form and void. How can what God created be without form and void? And in fact, that statement, without form and void, are we together? In the Hebrew, implies what is chaotic. It was chaotic. Everything was dabaru. That's the meaning. Are we together? So definitely, what God created will not be what is without form and void. Rather, what is without form and void, are we together? Are we together? It's the reason why God had to create. Amen. 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 So when in the beginning, God created heaven and earth.
Time will not permit me though. But I remember in our last conference, I took time to explain the word create. Right? Remember as we opened this conference yesterday, I said the Bible is not as English as you think. Do you remember? Now, when a Bible reader today in 2025 sees the word create, what comes to your mind is that something was not in existence, right? And then I now make it. But I think in the conference, I was able to help you to see that that is different from the way Bible writers used it. The word create, as used by Bible writer, simply means to provide, look at this, to provide order in what there is no order, or in a place where there is no order. Create, as used by Bible teachers, is not used for making something where there is nothing. Create, rather, is used to explain making what you want from what is existent. That is create. So the concept of God making something out of nothing is not exactly what Bible writers communicated. I have spent years to explain this to you. Is it clear? So if you are hearing this for the first time, get the teachings. Are we together? Alright. So, create or created is used for bringing order out of chaos. Are we there? If I have the time, I'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow morning. Bringing order out of chaos. Providing something that you want from what is available. In fact, God was described as creating the nation of Israel when he called them out of Egypt. Obviously, the folks already existed before coming out of Egypt. But the art of bringing them out from chaos to form what he wanted was described as the one as creation. Are we together? Bible writers, look at this, will use that word to explain you and I today. When he calls us God's creation or the new creation. I remember many years ago, when I'm teaching on the new creation, I usually say, oh, you are a new creation. And then I usually said that it means that you are a creation that did not exist before. But that was not true. Are we together? The fact that you are a new creation did not mean you did not exist before. It was because we disconnected the word new and the word creation from the Old Testament books. So we saw the word new as something that has not existed before. Unlike how the Bible writers taught the word new. In the Old Testament books, it's used to teach God's faithfulness. God revisiting his people with what he had always been doing. It is actually a word that implies to renew something. To renew something. So God revisiting man to renew his plan. That renewer is how the Old Testament explained the word new. So if he says creation, he's talking about God bringing order out of what? Chaos. I took several hours, about 10 hours, to explain this in our last conference. Get to the teaching. Is it clear, church? Alright, that's why we have recorded teachings. So if you are hearing something new, you can go back to it before you start feeling somehow. So look at this. He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So he presents the heaven and earth as God's creation in Genesis. Then he says, the earth was without form. Observe what was without form was the earth, not the heavens. Are we together? The reason is because if you were Moses' audience and Moses used the word heaven and uses the word earth, there is what it will mean to you. Are we together? To Moses' audience, which was the Jewish background, or which had the Jewish background, are we together? Or the Near Ancient Eastern culture. Culturally, the word heaven, I'm explaining now, from the word Shamayim in the Hebrew, Or the word Eporanos or Uranos in the Greek. In the Greek, the word heaven is the word Uranos. O-U-R-A-N-O-U-S. Uranos. Uranos is used for, look at this, sometimes it is literal. Used for the space above the earth. Are we together? Heaven. But sometimes also, that word Uranos is applied or employed rather by Bible teachers to explain what cannot be seen. Are we together? You can use the word supernatural realm, heaven. Now the Greek writer of the Bible took that word from the Hebrew writers because that was where they taught from, the Old Testament books. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament books, a larger portion of it, was written in Greek. So when I say the Greek writers, I'm talking about the New Testament writers. If I say the Hebrew writers, Old Testament writers, because the Hebrew language was the language with which God communicated his counsel to those men. Are we together? That was the language they spoke. Is it clear? Is it clear? So the word Shamayim, S-H-A-M-A, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M, Shamayim, is the Hebrew word for heaven. Like I said, it can be used figuratively. It can also be used what? Literally. Are we together? Are we together? Look at Genesis 1, verse 4. It says, in verse 4, Genesis 11, verse 4. In Genesis 11, verse 4, he says, and they said, go to, let us make a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad unto the face of the whole earth. Again, you see the word heaven, and then you see the word earth as it is used. Are we together? Are we together? In Genesis 15, heaven. Genesis 15. Maybe I'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow morning, so some things will be clear to you. In Genesis 15, verse 5, he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. So heaven in this text, was it literal or figurative? Was it literal or figurative? That's literal. He said to look at the stars. So that region above this earthly space, where celestial bodies, are we together? The sun, the moon, the stars, that region is also called what? Heaven. Literally speaking. But you also find out that figuratively, look at Genesis 21. Figuratively, it is also used for the unseen realm. 21 verse 17. He says, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Agar out of what? Heaven. So could it be out of the sky or out of the supernatural realm? Does angels live where star is, or they are in the unseen realm? So heaven can be used like that. You have to note the text. You have to pay attention to it. So when you see the use of the word heaven, there are times when the writer is describing just this firmament of space above us. Is it clear? But figuratively also, it can be used to describe what is not seen. The unseen realm. Better put, the supernatural world. Is it clear? I told you that in the Near Eastern culture, that is, that was the area that formulated the understanding of the Jews. The word heaven is used to refer to where God dwells. Are we together? Or many times, where God acts from. God's abode, God's place of activity, where God speaks from. Where God intervenes from. Are we together? Heaven. Heaven. Whereas the earth on the other side is used to describe, sometimes literally, where man is what? Dwelling. Are we together? Are we together? This physical world, where man is dwelling. And sometimes, the earth is also used figuratively to describe humanity. Are we together? Humanity. For example, when it says in Genesis chapter 6 that God looked upon the face of the earth. Are we together? And he was moved. Are we together? The Bible said he repented that he had created man, because when he looked on the face of the earth, he says the whole earth was covered with what? With evil. Are we together? For him to say that the earth was covered with evil, it means that human activities were filled with what? With evil. Earth covered with evil couldn't be talking about the moon, the tree. Are we together? The tree is covered with evil. The sea is covered with evil. The shark, what else? Cockroach is covered with evil. No. So earth many times can discuss the physical realm. Are we together? Or figuratively just used to describe what? Humanity. Are we together? To go a little bit more detail, earth in discussing humanity can actually, or is actually used the heart of man. For example, if he says the whole earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, he's talking about the heart of man. Are we together? My glory shall fill the whole earth means my glory shall fill the heart of what? Of man. So when you read heaven and you figure what it describes, literally, there is also what it describes. Together. Look at Exodus 20. Quickly. Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, verse 20. Look at this. And Moses said, "Fear unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you see not." And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from where?" Did you get it? Now I know you didn't get it. Yeah, I know you didn't get it. Where was heaven in this text? Huh? Heaven was just beside them, right? Right? Thank you. The same cloud that was right beside them, God said, heaven. Did you see that? So heaven here is used figuratively for where God speaks from. That is the supernatural world. Whereas, the supernatural world is right where man is. You know, there's this teaching that presents the supernatural world as a distant world from us. It is not true. As we are seated here right now, we are seated in the supernatural world. Right now. Are we together? For example, the angels of God are right here where we are right now. Are we together? Are we together? That is why we can have visions. Are we together? That is why we can receive the things of the Spirit right here. So as we are seated here right now, where is heaven? We are actually right where heaven is. As we are seated here, we have a combination of two things. We have heaven in earthly places. Are we together? As we are here. We have heaven in what? Earthly places. The reality of God is amongst us, light as we are seated. So heaven is not a distant place. Heaven simply means the same location where you are, but that you cannot what? See with your physical eyes. That is heaven. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? In the same books of Moses, look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy 26, in verse 15. So we see how heaven is used, right? Verse 15. Let's take it together. Once you go, look down from thy holy habitation from and bless what? And the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our, a land that floweth with milk and. Look at it, it look down from thy holy habitation from heaven. Oh, so heaven is also used. Now, we know God does not dwell among the stars. Right? So, while literally speaking, it can refer to this firmament above us, figuratively, is also used for where God dwells. Or where God, observe, he says, from heaven, and bless thy people Israel. So heaven is where God acts from. Are we there? The supernatural world. This is how Bible writers use heaven. Because of the understanding of their audience. Are we together? Look at the next text I'll give you. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah is just after Chronicles. You have Ezra. Are we together? Then you have Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 28. Are we there? Nehemiah 9:28. He says, can we take it together? I want us to read together. Want to go? After the address, they did evil again, before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hands of thine enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet they return, when they return, and cried unto thee. Let's read slowly. Want to go? Thou addest them from. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy. So look at this. A place where God hears from and God also acts from. Are we together? The activities of God will be his intervention, deliverance, then he also hears from there. So it is described as heaven. Are we there? Are we there? Psalm 14, verse 2. Are you learning something? Okay. If you say so. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. For he says, there is none that doeth good. Can we take verse 2 together? Want to go? The Lord looked upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. 3, they are all gone aside, they are all together filthy, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So God sees from heaven, God hears from heaven, when they require intervention, he also intervenes from heaven. Are we together? Look at the prayers of Solomon the king, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. Praise God. 1 Kings 8. Look at verse 20. He says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the congregation of Israel and stretched forth his hands toward heaven. Now, does that mean he stretched forth his hands towards the supernatural realm or towards the sky? Towards the sky. Now, I want you to see something there. So, towards the sky. So, it's used literally here, right? Thank you. Now look at the next thing. And he said, so
He says, Lord God of Israel, does God live in the sky? No. Are we together? So why then does he stretch forth his hands towards the sky? Because in his mind, just like the mind of everyone that lived in that time, based on their teaching, their culture, and also similar to our world also today. Are we together? The lifting up of my hands towards the sky is just to depict that my attention is toward a realm I cannot see. Do you get it? It does not mean I am facing God. Is it clear? So, posture-wise, in my posture, I can be faced towards the sky, but my heart is faced towards a realm beside me. Are we together? Are we together? Do you get it? So look at this next thing. From verse, what are we taking it? From verse 22. Then he says, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above, and on earth what? Beneath. He says, so heaven is used for where God dwells. In the supernatural realm, there is none like you. Then in the earth beneath, are we together? Are we together? He says, there is none like you. In other words, amongst men. So amongst men and amongst supernatural beings, there is none like you. So heaven is used for supernatural things, supernatural beings. Are we together? Supernatural beings, or better put, heaven is used for deity. And then earth is used for man. What is not divine? Human. What is ordinary? While heaven is used to describe what is divine. So if Moses comes and says God's creation is heaven and earth, he is teaching God's union with what? Man. As God's creation. Are we together? Are we together? Let's read Solomon a little bit more. He says, there is none like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath. Why does he call earth beneath? He uses the same geography. Are we together? Literally. But we know he's talking about supernatural things. Are we together? But why does he use the same geography of heaven above the earth? In the mind of Solomon, just like every other Bible writer, they knew that the physical world is directed by the supernatural. Are we together? That is why many times, when they wanted to do something in the natural, something like they wanted to go to war, they will go seek supernatural interventions from gods. Are we together? We see that in Egypt. Why? Where Pharaoh will have his own magicians to show you that Pharaoh had a supernatural intervention to the wars that he fought. Is it clear? Nebuchadnezzar had the same. He has supernatural interventions. In fact, many times when Saul was going to fight a war, after he was backsliding, he will go to the wizard. Are we together? Are we together? That wizard to get intervention. Intervention. Are we together? There was a time that, I think it was the Assyrian army or was it the Philistine army that were against Israel, and then they called Balaam, are we together, to come and pronounce curses so that Israel will become captive to them. All of that is the seeking out for supernatural intervention, because they understood, just like we know today, that the supernatural world carries a superior influence to the natural world. Are we together? Now, Moses knew that. His audience knew that. So that affected the way he taught them and every other speaker of scripture. Are we together? Are we together? The supernatural world. So that means in the Old Testament books, there is a supernatural consciousness with which we must read the book. The world of the Old Testament books, the people of that age had the supernatural mindset. They knew there was a supernatural world around them. They knew. Are we together? That was why Moses could talk to them, and he's talking about a speaking serpent. Because to them, it was a supernatural connotation he was making.
a speaking serpent, a supernaturally inspired deception. We'll get back to the text. We'll get to the text. So look at what Moses. He says, "You keep covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart." You keep, he says, "with thy servant David my father." So that was Solomon talking. "That I'll promise him. Thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day." 25. "Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, that thou promise him." That thou promised him. It's a saying, "The is in thy in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me." He says, "And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant my father. But indeed dwell in the earth, on earth rather, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less," look at this, "how much less," he says, "this house that I builded." Then he says, "Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and his supplication." Now pay attention here. "O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today." 29. "That an eyes may be opened toward this house night and day." That is the dedication of the temple. He was dedicating the temple. He says, "Which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place." Now, for time's sake, look at verse 31. He says, "If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house." Look at 32, everyone. Can we read together? "Then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his will upon his head, and justifying the righteous," he says, "to give him according to his righteousness." 33. "And when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee," that is when they repent, "and confess your name, and pray, and make supplication unto you in this house." Take 34 again together. "Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou hast given unto their fathers." 35. "When heaven is shut up and there is no rain," is that the supernatural now or the physical? Thank you. He says, "because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from thy sin," he says, "when thou afflictest them," 36 again, let's read together, "then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land," he says, "which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance." So you observe the use of the word heaven in this same text. It was used both literally for the sky above, the firmament above, are we together, where the planetary bodies dwell. It was also used supernaturally for a realm that is closer to him than his mouth. Are we together? Are we together, church? Are we together? That is how heaven was understood. What about earth? Earth. In Genesis chapter 6. So if Moses is teaching an audience and it sounds this way, that means that was the mindset of the audience. Genesis chapter 6. In verse 1. "And it came to pass when men began to what? To multiply." Are we together? "When men began to multiply on the face of the what? Earth." Pay attention. "And the daughters were born unto them." So men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Earth is used as the place where man dwells. In verse 6, he says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth." So God's dwelling place, heaven. Man's dwelling place is described as what? Earth. Are we together? Genesis chapter 6 verse 7. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, For it repented me that I have made man. In 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 60, which we read earlier, we see again that earth refers to where God has put man. 1 Kings chapter 8 and then verse 60. He says that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. All the people of the earth. So earth is always used when man is mentioned. Are we together? In Job chapter 1 verse 8, the book of Job is just before the book of Psalms, chapter 1 and then verse 8. Verse 8. Now, let me give you a hint. Did you observe that what we are reading are statements across several decades or even centuries? So that means throughout all those centuries, there was that same word, conception. Just like in our own world today. Are we together? Are we together? Thank you. So look at Job 1 in verse 5. He says, and it was so when the days of the feasting were gone about. He says that Job sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt sacrifice offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and caused God in their heart. Thus did Job continue. 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. He says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. That means Satan's activity will be amongst men. Are we together? Are we together? That informs why Moses will come and say, a serpent speaking to man. Are we together? Satan's activity will be amongst men. Look at this. In verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Where was Job? On the earth. Are we together? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschew evil. Job chapter 2 verse 3, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. The same thing. Psalm 33 and then verse 8. We'll take a pause there. Psalm 33 verse 8. I'll keep the next text to next conference. Are we together? Psalm 33, verse 8. He says in verse 7, he gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. Is this Genesis? He lays up the dead in storehouses. Verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. When he says the earth shall fear the Lord, is he saying that two trees will? Are we together? Let all the earth fear the Lord. Is he saying that precious stones and gold in the soil should fear God? So what will fear God? The word fear there means worship. Is it clear? Worship. To revere, to worship. So he uses earth for man. Let the whole earth fear the Lord. That is the inhabitants of the world. Those that inhabit. He's talking about humanity, male and female, of different colors, stripe, tongue, gender. Where is there male and female? Are we together? Are we together? Amen. So heaven is used for a place where God dwells. Is used deity, and earth is used to signify what? Humanity. Heaven is used to signify what is supernatural, superior to the natural. That is supernatural. And earth is used to describe what is natural. So Moses will say, the earth beneath. Because the supernatural is superior to the natural. God acts from there. Supernatural beings act from there. Interventions come from there. Are we together? When man is stranded, he looks up onto heaven. Then he makes progress in his path. Are we together? When the path is evil, then the supernatural intervention has come from rebellious supernatural beings. When the path is according to God's plan, then the supernatural intervention has come from where? From God Himself. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? That is why I showed you that the writer of Matthew, oftentimes, you observe the use of words in Matthew and Luke. When Luke is referring to, the kingdom of God, Luke literally states it, kingdom of God. But you will hardly read kingdom of God in Matthew. You will read Matthew, you will read kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Matthew was a Levite. Are we together? And the audience of Matthew were Jews. So to the Jew, he knows that the Jew thinks of God. So in the book of Matthew, whatever Matthew says about kingdom of heaven, if you go into the book of Luke, Luke also put it as kingdom of God. You won't read kingdom of heaven in Luke. Go and fetch it. Why? Luke was talking to a Gentile guy, Theophilus. And to a Gentile, if he's talking about God, he needs to mention what? God. Why? The Gentile is used to worshipping supernatural beings that are not God. Is it clear? So if he uses heaven for him, his mind might go haywire. He might be thinking about other beings. Are we together? Because that's what he used to. So in talking to a Gentile, God. Are we together? In talking to a Jew, the Jew believes in one God of heaven and earth. Are we together? So he needs not spell it out. He will just say the kingdom of heaven. The Jew knows he's talking about God that created heaven and earth. Did you get it? Did you get it? So that was the mindset of Moses' audience. So he becomes the same Moses, now comes to Israel and says, look at this. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I showed you, he is not saying God created heaven and then God created what? Earth. No. Now, is there a doubt as to whether God was the one who made the heavens and then who made the earth? No, there is no doubt. But that was not Moses' message. Moses is bringing a message to his audience, a message of God's intervention in man's affairs. So what he says in Genesis 1 is not God created heaven, then God created earth. That wasn't his discussion. His discussion is that he marries heaven and earth together as a singular creation of man, of God. So in the beginning, God creates heaven and earth. What is he telling these people? Don't forget the word create. Are we together? Which means you want from what already exists. So earth exists, chaotic. That's why he said in verse 2, without form and void, which speaks of chaos. Are we together? He further explains it as darkness on the face of the waters. He calls the earth the waters. Nations, like I told you earlier, that waters is used to describe nations, describe humanity. So he's saying the same thing. Darkness upon the face of the waters. Are we together? Darkness on the face of the deep. So he describes the state of humanity. At the moment where he showed up, he says the state of man is chaotic. What does he mean by that? Or how does he explain that? He says the earth is without form and void. Chaotic earth. So what does God do about chaotic earth? God intervenes. The product of God's intervention into a chaotic earth is heaven and earth. Do you get it? So Jesus says all authority in heaven and earth. Not authority in heaven. And then authority in what? No. Do you? Because the book of Genesis was an answer, right? Now, what question was being asked? Is it an archaeological question? Were the audience of Moses asking anthropological question? So is it likely Moses is teaching archaeology? No. But he will use what they know, illustration, to communicate what he's trying to tell them. Are we together? So he uses heaven, he uses earth,
Then, as Moses' audience is listening, they are hearing, oh, heaven and earth, a single creation. In their mind, they will understand that Moses is saying, okay, God has teamed up with man. God has invaded man's space to intervene. Why? That is what God sent Moses to go and do in the place where his audience were listening to the teachings of Genesis. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Tell you something. The Bible opens up. So why have we thought before that he's saying heaven, then he's saying earth? We did not pay attention to the question he is answering. So we are using an answer that deals with God's intervention into the chaotic state of man to answer questions on creation. Moses was not talking about creation of the natural earth. He is not discussing botany. When he says he brought forth grass, he's not talking about botany. The book of Genesis was not answering botany question. The book of Genesis is not answering zoology question. And Adam must come on. He is answering a question. I told you that for him to say that God brought his creatures to Adam to name, I told you naming has to do with identification. Moses was showing his audience that Adam, are we together, knew and recognized the place of each creature of God, including supernatural beings. He knew to the serpents. He identified them all. So listening to the serpents was a disobedience. Disobedience, rather. Are we there? Are we there? So you are leading parables. God's wisdom, God's will, God's work in a parable form. And you know why he's speaking in parable. And you know what those parables are. Are you with me? I'll ask again, are you with me? So I said in my notes that heaven and earth in Genesis 1 is the writer employing imagery to explain God's activities or work amongst men. That was why the next thing you read after the earth was void and without form and darkness upon the face of the waters, the next thing you read is, and the Spirit of God move on the face of the waters. God's intervention around. Is it clear? Is it clear? So the heaven and earth in Genesis 1 will it be the earth of Genesis 2? Yes or no? Okay, let me help you. The product of Genesis 1, will it be Genesis 1? The product of Genesis 1 verse 1, is that Genesis 1 verse 2, or Genesis 1 verse 2 is the reason for Genesis 1 verse 1? So he opens the Bible with what God does, and the next verse, why God needs to do something. Do you get it? Do you get it? Look at Jeremiah chapter 4. So the Bible must be read as a conversation. Questions are being answered. Are we there? Are we there? Look at Jeremiah 4, everyone. In verse 23, or read from verse 20, Jeremiah 4, verse 20. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. So can we read together? I want to go. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtain in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the prophet? For my people is... Pay attention here. My people is what? Whose people are we talking about? These are God's people, right? Right? My people is what? Foolish. The next statement, they have not known me. Wait. My people is foolish. They can't pass exams. Is that what he's saying? So the foolishness here is with respect to what? God's will. He's not discussing the ability to do well in the natural or not. When Jesus said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken," did he mean that the people he's talking to, Cleopas and his wife, were stupid people? No. But with respect to what is in question, are we together? They were behaving what? Foolishly. So when he says, "My people are foolish," a particular area is being addressed. So the next thing he says, "Have not what? They have not known me." The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Read the next thing. "They are such his children, idol worshipping children. And they have none what? Understanding. They are..." Oh, so they are not foolish. Did you see that? Because it says they are wise to do what? Evil. So foolishness is about the wisdom they have and the one they did not what? Have. They were not smart, intelligent towards the things of God. But the same people were very intelligent towards the things against God. Does this look like the knowledge of good and evil? Does this look like knowledge of good and evil? Thank you. So look at this. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no what? Knowledge. Look at 23, everyone. Can we read together? "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no what? Light." Look at this. "And beheld, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved what? Slightly." Now, time will not permit me. I would have shown you that the use of the word mountain also had a cultural significance. Mountains are used for places of worship in the Oriental culture. The place of worship is used for places where people go for worship to seek supernatural interventions. In other words, there is no intervention. My intervention is not there. That's why it says the mountains, it says they are moved. The hills, it says they are moved. Are we together? There is no intervention. There is no supernatural intervention from me. So if you look at the verse you read now, it says, "I beheld the earth," and what? It was what? It was what? Now who is talking there? Jeremiah. Was Jeremiah answering the question of his day? Was he answering the question of his day? So if Moses comes in Genesis 1 and he says to his audience, "The earth was without form and void," is he referring to a people also or the physical creation? He's not talking about physical creation. Do you get it? So the book of Genesis 1 book on physical creation. That's why a lot of Christians are arguing with scientists. And you are the one that is wrong. Are we together? You are the one that is wrong. So you argue with scientists. This. The earth is round. The earth is flat. The earth is clinical. Allow science to study its own work. Science is not against God. Science cannot even do the whole work. It can't even do much. Are we together? Science simply finds out about nature. God's word tells you why nature is there. They don't contradict. That's why when you see a scientist who says there is no God, you know that one has gone haywire. Are we together? You see a scientist, someone has studied nature. You studied nature so much, you concluded that there is no creator. Your own study is out of this world, though. Amen. Don't say, "I don't believe in those things of Christ died. I don't believe they are fanciful stories." I've moved. You know, I do science. He says, when you go into science and you study some things, you will understand that all of those things you're talking about are not real. They are not real. Because, you know, science is a lie. You are only running mad. Yes. We need to put you at the rehabilitation center.
Are we together? To school you. The knowledge of the creation. Are we together? Instills the knowledge of the Creator in your mind. The Bible says that the invisible things of God are clearly seen from the things that He has made. God put His knowledge in nature. You cannot study nature and come to a conclusion that God does not exist. That is malstudy. What did I call it? Malstudy. Amen. It is the malhandling of nature. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In a some that way, claiming that because they had studied physics, someone say, oh, if you understand quantum physics, that everything is vibrating. Everything is vibrating. He was trying to explain healing. Yes, oh. Yes. I know the guy. He was trying to explain healing. He says, everything vibrates at different energy. Different energy. He's a physicist. That, you know, that he could explain how Jesus passed through the wall. Yes, he said that. That he could explain how Jesus was walking on the water. It was vibration. He said, you should try. Thank you. I like that. Go and vibrate now. He says, and he was explaining it so beautifully. And I was following. So beautifully. He said, everything vibrates. Vibrating. That there's a vibration that even himself, and it will pass through the wall. Are we together? A very vibrant brother. Amen. I said amen. So look at that. He said, oh, I have studied biology so much. I don't believe in those things called healing. He says, it is in every living thing to heal itself. Are we together? Then you're trying to explain healing. Okay, come of it. Are we together? There is something called healing power. Are we there? When the body fails to heal itself, then the power shows up. There was a woman for 12 years. Then for 12 seconds, healing power. I want healing power. Are we together? For 12 years, could not heal itself. Then he came for 12. He didn't even take 12 seconds. Maybe 12 nanoseconds. Are we together? And she got healed. Is it clear? You know, sometimes when you look at those people that said they have studied so much, and because of what they have studied, they cannot really believe the things of God. Ask them for their report cards. You have studied physics so much that you don't believe in the supernatural again, and in the physics, you are scoring 11 over 100. Does that not tell you why you don't believe in the existence of God? Are we together? Your brain is lazy. Amen. Your brain is what? Lazy. Biology, D2. Sorry, D7. It's only 11 over 100 in chemistry. They say, because of the chemical. Wait, chemical reaction. The chemical reaction needs to first start in your brain. So that everything can mix together. You can be intelligent again. Are we together, church? So the Creator is unveiled in His creation. Glory to God forevermore. So Moses was not teaching physical creation. Are we there? When he mentions the moon, the stars, he wasn't teaching physical creation. If you go into the prophets and you see how the prophets used moons and stars, you will understand what Moses was doing. That Moses was using the parable of what God has created in the natural, moons and stars, to teach something else. That was why what he said about each of the creation was definite. The things he said were things you can now apply. Are we together? To his will. To his counsel. Concerning the moon, the stars, the sun, he said he made two great lights. He says that will determine times and seasons. That is government. Moon and stars is taught in the scriptures as angels, supernatural beings. So he used the creation of the stars, of the moon, are we together, and the sun to talk to his audience about God's creatures who live in the heavens and they govern the affairs of the earth. Just like the star and the moon are responsible for the times and seasons on the earth. That is why you will now read the words of God. It says, let the moon rejoice. Does it not make sense to you that moon can rejoice? But because the moon is dealing with supernatural beings, let them rejoice. He will now say, oh, let the stars sing. Does it not make sense to you that stars don't sing? But because stars has now been used as parables to describe the what? The supernatural beings. That is why in Job chapter 1, he says, the morning stars, he says, when they sang. Are we together? Talking about the company of supernatural beings. Angels are described as stars because they are light-bearing creatures. Are we together? So if Moses is talking to his audience, he is answering perplexing questions, not describing geography, not describing archaeology, not describing anthropology, not discussing sociology, not discussing biology, not discussing botany. The Bible is not a book of botany. It can't answer botany questions. Science does that. But where science can't get to, the scriptures come. The scripture answers the why questions. Let the science answer the what. Because science is about finding out nature. But science don't know why. Hallelujah. Only the creator can tell you why. Why he created the earth. He tells you why he created male and female. Why did he create male and female? When you know why he made male, why he made female, no woman will want to go and transgender. Science can't answer that question. Are we together? Because those are perplexing questions. In the heart of man, those are deep-seated questions that scientific knowledge cannot enter. Why am I on the earth? How can I be right with the Creator? So that question has battered many religions. Religions are a product of man's quest to be right with God. Because there is a void that when God created man, he put a void in man that yearns for him. Are we together? So in search of the worship of my Creator, in search of reconciliation to the one who made me, man had money, but saw that money can't fulfill his dreams. Are we together? Money can't satisfy. Man had people, saw that relationships alone cannot satisfy. Are we together? Man had looked into nature. He had looked all around him. He saw that nothing created on earth truly satisfies. His heart yearns for something deeper. Are we together? That is the question the scriptures answer. So stop using the Bible only. It doesn't answer that question. Stop using the Bible. On he says someone went into God's promise to Abraham. He says indeed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have money. It's a lie. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have money. I'm saying that is not what the text is what saying. Text for what it is for. Then God will truly be worshipped. We cannot achieve true worship when our knowledge of the scripture is wrong. You can't have true worship in ignorance or deception. You can't. If you have the right activity, your motive is wrong. No reward. get the text right. Are you there, church? Are you there, church? Get the text right. So look at this. Heaven and earth is described as God's creation. So God's creation, now, heavens, these physical heavens, and heaven, when he's talking about the supernatural world, is that God's creation? Is it God's creation? Thank you. The earth, when he's talking about the physical elements on the earth, the trees, the animals, the minerals in the soil, the waters, and when earth is figuratively talking about humanity, is it also God's creation? But is that the creation in Genesis 1 verse 1? No. The creation in Genesis 1 verse 1 is a merging. Are we together? Of heaven and earth. A product of God's work. Heaven and earth. So Genesis 1 verse 3 explains heaven and earth together. It explains them as together, not separate. It calls the unity of heaven and earth God's creation. That is why Jeremiah repeats that statement of the earth thing being without what? Void in his word. I thought if Moses was discussing creation of the earth with being without what? Form and void. If that was physical creation, which now led to the bringing forth of physical elements, if that was what Moses was describing, why does Jeremiah repeat that statement? Does that make sense to you? So Jeremiah repeats that statement because, hey, he found an audience that also did not yet have that supernatural intervention of God in his own world. That shows you something. Are we together? That when Moses said, the earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Look at this. What Moses is describing, are you with me? Was not a one-time work of God. Rather, he is described for those with the generation of what? Of men. He uses that analogy because in his own world, God is doing it again. So Isaiah uses that same, Jeremiah uses that same description in his own world that God is going to do that what again. So look at me. Genesis 1 verse 1. It's not a one-time work. Genesis 1 verse 1 simply explains what God's activity on the earth is. Is it clear? That is, this is God's activity on the earth. If it was to be a physical creation, it would be one time and for all. Then no Bible writer should discuss Genesis 1 verse 2 again in his world. Because it's supposed to have been dealt with. But how come Bible writers are coming back to discuss this Genesis 1 and discuss God's intervention? It shows you that Moses opened his own text. Now look at this. Did Moses know Isaiah? Answer me. Did Moses know Isaiah? No. Did Moses know Jeremiah? No. So did Moses know the audience of Jeremiah? So look at me. Could Moses be writing to Jeremiah's audience? No. Moses is addressing his own audience. So in addressing his own audience, he calls the state of his audience earth without form and void. And the Spirit of God waiting to gain entry. Jeremiah comes in his own world, are we together? And then finds an audience and decides to use Moses' description. But he was referring to his own audience also. How else can I explain this? Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? So look at this. Don't forget the illustration of the Garden of Eden. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember the illustration of the Garden of Eden? Okay. So look at this. God's work, God's intervention amongst men
in Moses' language is called what? Give it to me. It's called what? God's intervention amongst men. In Moses' language is called what? Heaven and earth. Are we together? Then he opens the Bible with that. That shows you that the Bible opens up with the way God wants you to read it throughout. It's a book of God's intervention. Nothing else. The Bible, the 39 books of the whole Testament, are we together? And also, consequently, the four Gospels, then the book of Acts, and finally the books of Revelation, the entire 66 books opens up from Genesis 1 verse 1 with the way God wants you to read it. Is it clear? So it's not a book of stories. That is why later on, you will consistently read God's intervention. Even in the one that looks like story to you, did you observe that the entire life of Samson was God's intervention? Thank you. Did you observe that the going of Moses to Egypt was God's intervention? Did you observe that? If you go read the entire book of Judges, the entire book of Judges were the book of God raising several interventions through men. Othniel was there, Samson was there. Are we together? Are we together? Even Caleb also. Then what's his name? Gideon. Are we together? Then you see Deborah. These were all God's interventions. Then you see again the story of David and Goliath. Are we together? Don't get caught up in the story. The story was the story of God's intervention on behalf of Israel. So you will keep on reading intervention across the entire books of the prophets. Intervention, intervention, intervention until Jesus. That was why Matthew links Jesus with what? With Genesis. Are we together? Because he comes to fulfill intervention. Is it clear? He comes to fulfill God's. So look at this. Genesis 1 verse 2. Without form and void. Tohu wabohu. That's the Hebrew word there. Genesis 4, Jeremiah 4, 23. We saw it again. I said, and I'll say it again. Jeremiah, in verse 22 of chapter 4, refers to a people. He described them as foolish. He says they lack understanding. He says they are wise to do evil. Are we together? Now, wise to do evil is explaining the state of their hearts. Are we together? So, where is the darkness that is in Jeremiah 4? In their heart. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, if a prophet comes and says, oh, the whole earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, where is that knowledge going to be? In men's heart. Are we together? Are we together? So that shows you something which you might not be able to explore in this conference, in these sessions. If God goes to meet Israel in Egypt, was God's intention to just physically bring them out or a work in their hearts? So they were called stiff-necked. Men in whose heart there was what? No faith. So God works a physical intervention amongst men to change people's hearts. Because his work is the heart. From Genesis. From Genesis. Are we together? I'm just making those mentions of things I can't go deeply into also. So he refers to man, people. He says they are wise to do evil. They have no knowledge of good. All from Genesis. Jeremiah refers to men in disobedience to the voice of God. So he says no light. No light means they were in darkness. This is similar to Genesis 1 verse 2. So the darkness in Genesis 1 verse 2 was the state of man
Are we together? In disobedience to God's word. That is why the next thing he does was to explain how man got into that state. He gives us Adam. Are we together? Can you see? Is it linking now? So he starts with the state of man. Then he then went into how man got into that state. Then chapter 3, God's promise of intervention through the seed of the woman. Are we together? That is how to read Genesis. It tells you that the entire Bible is built on the book of Genesis. And the book of Genesis is built on Genesis 1, 2, 3. Without the understanding of Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, I fall in the error of misinterpreting, misquoting the entire books of the Bible. It's not as difficult as it looks in understanding. Are we together? Are we together? Listen, you just need to be patient as a Bible reader. As a Bible reader. So look at this. Moses' earth, which was without form and void, is the state of man in darkness. Have we said that? Thank you. Do you believe? Okay, if you do. Genesis 1 verse 2. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The word spirit is the word ruach in the Hebrew. And the Greek word is pneuma. Ruach. Ruach is used for breath or wind. So the Spirit of God means the wind of God or the breath of God. Why is the word wind used? Because it describes what is not seen, but the activity is what is felt. Are we together? So the Spirit of God, what is not seen, but the activity is what is seen. The impact is seen. Moved on the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Refers to God's activity in the earth amongst men. The Spirit of God refers to God's activity amongst men. God is not saying his activities are observed. The Spirit of God. The word rachaf or rakaf in the Hebrew, I'll spell it R-A-C-H-A-P-H. I'll take that again. R-A-C-H-A-P-H. Rakaf. Or rachaf is used for incubation or to brood on something, or look at this, to seek to gain an entrance. Moved on the face, hovers on the face of the waters. In other words, Genesis 1 verse 2 concerning the Spirit of God moving on the face of the water is Moses using an imagery. Are we together? The Holy Ghost was not standing on any water. Now it's clear, right? Good. So it is Moses using an imagery to describe God's seeking entrance. God is seeking entrance into the heart of man. God is seeking intervention into man's activity. How will he intervene into man's activity when he has access into man's heart? Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? So God seeks intervention into man's activity. The Spirit of God moves on the face of the waters. I told you waters in scripture is descriptive of all kinds of men. Is it clear? So dark waters, men in bondage of sin. Are we together? Men in bondage of deception. Glory to God. He says, move on the face of the waters. The word face is the Hebrew word panim. I'll spell it. P-A-N-I-Y-M. I'm giving you all these Greek words so that you can also go and research what I am saying with your Bible and your study materials, your concordances. Is it clear? Panim. Are we together? Panim implies an appearance. physically, he is used for an appearance. Are we together? Look at this. Panim is used for what must be known for a man to be known. What must be seen for a man to be known. So literally, he's talking about the face of a man or the countenance. But technically, in conversations, it is used for the heart of man. Are we together? The heart of man. That is who it is. The heart of man. So he says, the Spirit of God moves on the face of the waters. He speaks of an appearance or the heart. The heart of waters, of men. The heart of men. Are we together? Later on in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, if you observe the waters, he says the river flowed into four nations. He gives us an imagery to show you that nations is what flowed out as waters. Are we together? The waters flowed into nations. Then he mentions Pison. He mentions Havilah. Are we together? He mentions the two other nations to show you that the waters, are we together? Amen. Is what formed nations. So nations are illustrated by water. He called the rivers the different nations of men. So what is Moses doing? I'll begin to close. So Moses is teaching his audience about the state of man. In fact, let's get details about their state. Moses is teaching his audience about their state. Don't forget, the book of Genesis did not start out as a book. It was a teaching. Right? Right? And then Moses now, after some years, decided to pen down what he taught. Moses was the first Bible writer, are we together, of the counsel of God. That means there were counsel of God and teachers of God's counsel before Moses, but none wrote. Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Methuselah were all teachers of God's counsel, but none of them wrote. It was Moses that did what? That penned down the writing. So Moses wrote the first five books of Moses. Then Moses was the one who wrote the book of Job, obviously, everyone knows that. And then portions of Psalms. Are we together? Moses. So Moses was a skillful writer because Moses was trained in Egypt. Moses grew up under the nose of Pharaoh. Are we together? In his house. A place where people were schooled, people were learned. Are we together? Moses went to the best schools in Egypt until he was 40 when he tried to carry out the Exodus in his own flesh, in his own power. Then everything boomerang. Jaba. Are we together? Jaba. Amen. Amen. Ah. Hallelujah. So Moses is teaching his audience about the state of their heart. Their heart without the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will refer to God's light. He calls their heart, the state of their heart, he calls it darkness. He calls it home. He calls it to explain their bondage in sin and death. Don't forget that same Israel had been in Egypt for how many years? 400 and what? 30 years. Now, where is Egypt? Maybe I'll show you Egypt tomorrow. Egypt was used not just historically by Moses, but later Bible writers like Amos, Ezekiel, Hosea, they used Egypt as a place where God wants to lead his people from. Are we together? Why? Because Egypt was an idol worshipping nation. They had many gods. They had the gods of the Nile. They had the gods of fertility. They had the gods of rainfall. They had different gods that they worshipped. Are we together? Pharaoh himself had several magicians and astrologers. Supernaturally aided man in the midst of many supernaturally aided people, all worshipping devils. Are we together, church? That was when God was going to set Israel free, God needed mighty acts. Because the nation they were coming out from
was not using mental or sociological skills to hold them. They were using powerful supernatural things. Are we together? So God had to intervene with the opening of the sea. If the sea had not opened, are we together? They would have gone back to a more severe bondage than they left. So the supernatural had to be working. That shows you that the audience of Moses knew the supernatural so much that when God was going to send Moses, when God was going to send Moses, he says, "What sign do you give me?" Then he says, "All right, put your hand in your cloak." He brought it out. It was leprous. He took it in there. It was clean. Are we together? Then he says, "The rod that is in your hand." Then Moses threw the rod on the floor. He turned to what? Serpents. Then he says, "Grab it by the tail." Then he took it. It became what? A rod again. All of this was to show you Moses knew that people he was going to go and meet, even his own people, had supernatural signs. They were inclined to the supernatural. They will not do things without signs. Are we together? So the world of Moses had a supernatural consciousness. Supernatural consciousness. So he talked to them about the stars, supernatural beings. He talked to them about serpent. He used supernatural things to discuss with them. Ezekiel church. Ezekiel church. So their state without the light of God, the spirit of God, he calls it darkness. Darkness. In Genesis chapter 2, you observe in verse 15. I'll begin to close there. Genesis chapter 2. Are you learning something? So tomorrow morning, we'll look at the applicative form, right, of what we're studying. In Genesis chapter 2, he says, in verse 15, "And the Lord God took man, put him in the garden of Eden, to dress it and to keep it." Now, time will not permit me, I would have explained the phrases "dress" and "keep." Are we together? Did God put Adam in any garden? Answer that question. No. So, dress and keep. Are we together? Why would he use "dress," "keep"? He's talking to an agrarian mindset, people with agrarian mindset. So, dress and keep meant something to them. To dress and to keep the garden, let me just briefly, implies to expand it. Are we together? To tend to the crops. It's a garden. So, it's like, look at this. I have a large space of land, like I explained in the morning. Then there is a part of it that is preserved. Are we together? And I put all sorts of luxurious things there. Look at it. My goal is that the garden will fill the land. Because I told you that part of this I'll do is to ensure that there are no ravaging or ravenous beasts, venomous and poisonous things in the garden. So one of the ways, look at this, because I can't do that tonight, okay? So it's fine. Observe that what God told Adam in Genesis 1:26, which is where we are going, because we said the authority in Genesis 1:28 is in Genesis. The authority in Genesis 1, Genesis 28 rather, when he says, "Go have authority in heaven and on earth," are we together? Obviously, is the authority in Genesis 1:26, "Have dominion." We'll get there. Okay? But look at this. You observe when God said, "Let him have dominion," he now says, when he created man in verse 28, he says, "Be fruitful," right? He says to do what? He says to subdue. He says to multiply. He says to replenish what? The earth. When they say replenish the earth, it means you were expected to extend an influence. Are we together? Make something to fill everywhere. That's replenish. Are we together? Subdue shows that there is a contrary force around. Are we together? We'll look at all that in the morning. But you see, when he says to dress and to keep, it means that God's plan for Adam is that Adam will extend the garden. So a garden is that smaller portion of a greater space. Why did I keep that portion? Because I want it the way I want it. I want the light, beauty, perfection there. But the goal eventually is to increase that garden so that at the end of the day, the whole land, are we together, is free from what destroys. Because the garden will now fill the whole world, the whole land. Are you with me? So when it says to dress and to keep the garden, it means it will extend that garden all around it. So if Moses used garden figuratively to describe God's plan, that means God's instruction to Adam, are we together, was to spread his plan amongst humanity. Adam, therefore, was given the work of God's priest and prophets. Are we together? Observe, he fails at it, then God revisits Abraham and then gives him the function of his priest and his what? His prophet. And that's to show you that the mission of Jesus on the earth today is to raise what? His priest, his prophets. Who is God's prophet? God's prophets are men who have the words of God on their lips. We do this through evangelism. Going toward the world and make disciples. God's priests are men who stand in the gap. Are we together? For men who are not yet in the kingdom of God to bring them in. These two assignments summarizes what it means to keep and to dress the garden. It is Moses using symbols to explain God's divine plan to the nation of Israel. Are we together? Hear me clearly. Adam was not an horticulturist. And Moses is not teaching what? Horticulture. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say amen.
Amen.
So look at this. He says, what verse are we? Locate the verse, let me know. Genesis what? 2:15, right? So he says, and the Lord God took man, put him in the garden, he says, of Eden, to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We'll go see this later on in Joshua. In verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the year, brought them into Adam to see what they will call them. And whatever Adam called them, he said, every creature, living creature, that was their name. And Adam gave the names. I told you, this is Moses explaining that Adam, God taught Adam the place of every of his creatures. Are we together? Now, if you follow Bible writers critically, you will observe that when he says, for example, the New Testament writer, Paul came to this text. If you observe very well, when he said that God brought all the creatures to Adam, are we together? I told you Adam was not doing boldly. Or what do we call this nomenclature? Is it nomenclature we call it? Oriva sativa, Leopantero. Is that it? Leo Pantera. Is that lion? Pantera Leo, sorry. It's the same thing. I call it only both. Leo Pantera. Or Pantera Leo. Is it not the same thing? If I call it Pantera Leo, do you answer? I'll put it, just go to somewhere else. Are we together? What else? Esculenti. Hey, or something. Yeah, Ratus. I remember Ratus. That's that. Oh, God. I used to have one senior. Okay, by the boy, he said, you are a Ratus. A rat. Praise God. So, look at this. So, in Genesis, amen. I can't go into all this in detail as I mentioned them. So, in Genesis, he says, before he brought, are we together? The animals for him to name in chapter 2, observe in 1. He has said, let him have dominion, right? Over all he created. Now, he categorized them into 3. He says, the fowls of the air, right? Then he says, the beasts of the field, Genesis 1:26. Then he says, the what? The fish of the sea. Are we together? Now, Again, there is no doubt as to whether God was the one who created that. Yes. But do you agree with me that man does not have dominion over some of those things? Eh? Someone said it is sin that is making lions to eat or to fight human beings. Oh, I'm sorry for you. You see, whenever you get your Bible interpretation, have you ever seen a lion before? A lion said, "Eka was that." You just japa. Amen. Lion is even far. Some cannot even stand cockroach. You wonder which one is cockroach? Is it the insect or the sister? Are we together? Are we together? I've seen a sister who cannot stand lizard. The lizard entered the house, the sister goes out. You now say, "I have dominion over every living thing." Does it look in Christ status? You are still running for lizards. So look at this. Let him have dominion over those three categories is symbolic. Observe something. We're going to get into it tomorrow. Observe that it is not just man that we have dominion. It is man in the image of God. You must pay attention to those details. Let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion. So the man that we have dominion over those classifications is the man who is in the image of God. What does the image of God mean? We'll see it in the morning. In the brief service tomorrow morning. Are we together? The sessions tomorrow are shorter. Don't worry. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? You like short sessions? Don't worry. We have it all for you. Does he not get tired? He's not even drinking water. Someone once came to our service. And midway service, he got angry and left. As the brother that invited, you know when you have been trying to invite somebody for 1 year, the person now finally comes. Get up. My work is falling. He just announced that the brother. So I was teaching on the pulpit. That was at Daru Kitab. I was hearing the brother saying, he's not even drinking water. So I was like, wait, is it your water? Is it not my shoulder? How can he be talking for 6 hours? He's not even drinking water. I'm sorry. Eshego, Ekufeo. But I'm not drinking water. Are we together? It's not your mouth now. Amen. So you observe. Thank you for that loud amen. So you observe that he gave three categories, right? Now, if you come into the New Testament books that teaching from the Old Testament, you will now find Paul say something like Jesus had a kind of dominion. Yes? Things in heaven, things below the earth. Oh, so Genesis 1:26, in classifying those animals, Moses is only using animals. What he's dealing with was the creation of God, supernatural beings. To show you that in God's plan, man has a sacred function. Are we together? The function of man in God's plan has dominion. Are we together? Over those supernatural beings. So if you understand that from Genesis 1, Genesis 2, of bringing all the animals to him, will make sense to you. That it was God teaching him how he would relate. The place is interaction, identity of all of those supernatural beings. So that shows you that if in Genesis 3, he is now found taking instruction from supernatural beings, he is deliberately disobeying God. Not that he did not know. Genesis was the parable showing us God informed him about the supernatural beings. Is it clear? That the entire Bible has to be read together and a portion. Is it clear? That's what I usually tell us in church. I tell our leaders in church, Do not go into the Bible to read because you want to preach a sermon. You will misquote it. Have a lifestyle that studies the Bible naturally. So on, you won't be getting Bible text under pressure. When you get into text, because you will not be patient enough. You won't be patient. You will just mumble things together because you want to preach something. Is it clear?
God knows how many "is it clear" have I used in this conference. Is it clear?
So Genesis 2:15 is to explain how man came into the state of Genesis 1 verse 2. Genesis 2:15 and verse 16. He says, "Do not eat." Then he says, "Eat." He tells him what to eat, what not to eat. I told you that eating was a what? Parable. Eating was a parable. How do you know eating was a parable? Jesus came later in John 5. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whosoever eats of my flesh." Was he saying they should attack him? Was he saying you should practice oral film? Are we together? Did his audience understand the meaning of eat? Did the disciples know the meaning of eat? They knew. That is it. Because they say, if you don't eat my flesh, you know, I will take the neck. No. Are we together? They knew what it meant. Is it clear? Eat. So the bread of life, he said they should what? Eat. Just like Adam was given the tree of life and told to eat. Now, any serious Bible student knows that there is no tree that brings forth fruit that is called life. Are you with me? It's just simple things. Is it clear? So the tree of life was a parable to signify God's choice that he wanted man to make. And how will man eat? By obedience to the voice of God. Are we together? So the voice of God. That is why in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, read it. In Genesis 3 verse 8, what do you have? Want to go?
Read on. So look at this, let me just help you with time. Look at verse 17, everyone. Want to go? And unto Adam he said, who spoke to Adam? God, right? Because thou art hearkening unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Did you see that? So he shows you how did man arrive at the state of darkness in his heart, disobedience to God's voice, God's word, God's counsel. What is God's counsel? To partake in life. That is the tree of life, not a physical tree. Is that clear? So, what is Moses doing with the story of Adam? Notice, the earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. Was it describing Adam, or was Moses describing his own audience? His own audience, right? Clear it. His own audience, right? So why does he mention Adam? He used it to show us how man got into that state. Is it clear? That shows you something. That the way men get into darkness in every generation is the same. And let me clear something in your mind now. That means that the mention of the story of Adam
or the narrative, the account of the intention of the writer was not to show us how all humanity inherited sin from Adam. The story was to show us the pattern of how each man gets into what? Sin. Because there's this doctrine flying out there that everybody, we are sinners because we came from Adam. It is not true. Are we together? I know we have preached it. I know we have taught it. And many times the text we usually use is the Romans 3:23 text. All have sinned and enter into the... All have sinned and have what? Come right of the glory of God. All have sinned. Then we now say, how did all sin? Then we say, since Adam sinned, all sin. God will be unjust to call you. You don't know Adam. Ah. Maybe you don't even like the fruit. Are we together? Then God looks at you hundreds of thousands years ahead, thousands of years ahead, and say, so Jay? Ah, but we want to Jay. No. Are we together? Sin is not genetically transmitted. Is it clear? So that concept of all of us are automatic sinners is not true. It's a misconception from the scriptures. Does that mean that all does not need to hear the gospel? All do need to hear the gospel. Are we together? But that teaching that all have sinned, in fact, by the time you look at the very text itself, for all have sinned, Romans, together, if you look at the context, you will observe that Paul was making an argument against the Jews on behalf of the Gentiles. Because the Jews were like, no, we have the oracles of God. The prophets were ours. We are of the seed of Abraham. So Paul says, Timbagbo. So Paul said, no, the Jews and the Gentiles have the same issue. Are we together? That salvation is not because you came naturally from Adam, from Abraham rather. Salvation is because you have faith in God's word like Abraham does. So it says, the fact that you are from Abraham, who does he help? Are we together? If those people who are not linked to Abraham, the Gentiles, who are not of the commonwealth of Israel, if they have faith, are we together? He says they will become the seed of Abraham. And you that you are sons of Abraham by the flesh, if you walk in unbelief, because they were rejecting his gospel. So all I've seen there was to show them that the order is Jew and what? Gentile. He's not saying all of humanity are sinners. Both Jews and Gentiles all have sinned. All there is the word both. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, like I said, it does not mean we do not need to preach the gospel to the world. We'll look at that some other time. Let me close here. Are we together? So, Genesis 3 verse 17, which we read, was very clear that Adam's sin was disobedience. Just like every man sins today, every man also sins through disobedience. The word disobedience was used by Paul in his letter to the church at Rome. Interestingly, I just mentioned the book of Rome. It wasn't even on my mind. The book of Romans, in chapter 5, Romans is just after the book of Acts. In verse 17, it is, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, is they shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. Can we take it together? One to go. For by one man's offense,
Many were made sinners. He did not say all became sinners. Are we together? He says many were made sinners. Are we together? Then read on. Then he says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. Does it clear it out now? So, in righteous by the obedience of Jesus, is it automatic or by choice? So what makes you think that becoming a sinner also didn't have to do with your choice? So he mentioned Adam to show you that sin has to do with choice. The choice of what God counsels, what God wants for humanity, or the choice of a way of life that you have found for yourself outside God's choice. The former, are we together, is how man is saved. The latter is how man is what? Is ruined. Glory to God forevermore. So God revisits Israel. And the story of God's revisitation, the story of God's visitation, is what we are reading in the book of Genesis. God revisits Israel to restore Israel to that, can we say, to the sacred place? Can we say to the sacred place? Will the sacred place be a place of service? Will the sacred place be a place of worship? A place of worship, a place of service. Are we together? A place of functioning as God's prophet and priest. So God restores man, or sorry, Israel. He restores Israel to the sacred place. We can say he restores Israel to the garden. Right? If I say he restores Israel to the garden, will that be a physical gathering? Will it be a physical gathering? No. Are we together? So this work of restoration was to fulfill his promise to Abraham. That is what we'll see in the morning. Are we together, church? So play for me. So the Garden of Eden, as used by Moses, was to describe perfection of God's plan for man. A place in his plan that he has carved out for humanity. In Genesis 1:26, he says, let us make man in our image. Hallelujah. Let us make man in our image. Obviously, you know that the man in our image there was not talking about a male gender, but humanity. In the book of Genesis, you have to read, there are times when man, M-A-N, because of the limitation of English language, as at the time when it was translated, in the year 1611. Are we together? This particular one, KJV. So when he uses the word man sometimes, in Genesis, it could refer to the male man, that is the male human. At other times, the word man simply speaks of what? Humanity. So let us make man in our image is to show you that the plan to have man in God's image was not for a gender, but for humanity. Are we together? Let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion. Is it clear? Over every creature. Then he mentions the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, fish of the sea, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth. Are we together? Creeping thing upon the face of the earth. Why does he single out creeping thing? He had mentioned serpent. He wanted to re-emphasize it. Because he had already mentioned it when he says the beast of every field. So why mention again creeping thing? He is emphasizing that serpent that he mentioned in chapter 3. Are we together? Are we together? We're going to see the significance of that serpent tomorrow morning. So he says, let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion. Are we together? Dominion. So Jesus speaks of that same dominion in Matthew 28 when he says, God, he says, Jesus came, he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He says, go ye therefore. So the authority that Matthew is talking about there is the dominion. Are we together? That man, don't forget, man in his image will have. Look at how Jesus was described in Colossians 1:15. Look at Colossians 1:15, everyone. Colossians 1:15. Then Colossians 1:18. Then you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hold your hands in Colossians 1:15. Go to Colossians 1:18. Then hold your hands in Colossians 1:18. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Then hold your hands in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at Hebrews chapter 1. Glory to God forevermore. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. And then in verse 1. God who has sundry times in diverse manners spoken unto the fathers by the prophet, as in this last day spoken unto us by his son. Are we together? It is in this last days spoken to us in his son, or by his son. That's how the word reads them. He says in verse 2, he says, who be at appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Can we take three together? Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Look at this. The express image of his person shows Jesus as that image of God. Are we together, church? Jesus as that image of God. Look at the next text we set to open to. What text is that? Second Corinthians, right? Look at Second Corinthians. In Second Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Can we take verse 3 together? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Wait, is this the state of Moses' audience? Jeremiah's audience? Okay, can we take 4 together? You know, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Look at verse 6. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Where was this? Was this Genesis? Was this Genesis? Look at the next thing Paul says. He says, has shined in our hearts. How? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, did you see that? The light in Genesis, let there be light. On the dark waters, let there be light. He says, that light is the knowledge of the gospel of God. So Moses had visited them with the gospel. Look at Colossians 1. So let us make man in our image. Who is that image? In Colossians chapter 1. And then in verse 15. He says. In verse 14. In whom we have redemption to his blood. We'll look at our word redemption tomorrow morning. Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hallelujah. The firstborn of every creature. Wait! Who will that creature be? Will that be God created heaven and earth? Huh? That creature, will it be Genesis 1 verse 1? The man in whose house God what? Inhabits. Are we together? He says Christ is the what? He's the firstborn. Are we together? So he calls him the image of God. So that means the answer to the chaos of Genesis 1-2 is the image of God. That's where we're going. Because that is where we are found today. That's where we are found. You and I are God's answer to the chaos of our world. That is why a Christian does not begin to see himself, are we together, like those that we are told to reach out to. Today is easy to find a Christian brother trying to be like one of those celebrities in the world. You see, a Christian guy wants to dress, wants to talk, wants to be seen, wants to behave, wants to walk, wants to be identified with Latin. How? You are
in the image of God. He needs what you have. His heart is chaotic. He is the dark waters. Are we together? You are God's man. You are his prophet. You have his words. You are his priest. You match the gap. You see a Christian sister who wants to dress like, he wants to be like, he wants to appear like, wants to have the exploit of. Well, let me mention their names, because they are not worthy of mentioning in our congregation. Ezekiel Church, you are that image. So in Colossians 1, in 18, and he is the head of the church, the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him, that in all things rather, he might have what? Preeminence. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He calls Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the firstborn. We are in him. Glory to God forever. So if we understand his mission, we will find ourselves, are we together, in what we are supposed to be living for. We will find out what our cause is. Glory to God forevermore. So he calls him. He says, let us make man in our image. We'll explore that tomorrow morning. Let's be on our feet. Man in the image of God. Let's just give God praise tonight. Have you learned something tonight? Is he clear out to you tonight? That's it. So every generation will require that explanation of God's word. God finds men and women in every generation to go just like Moses, to go just like Joshua, just like Abraham, just like the nation of Israel, just like Jonah to Nineveh, to take the gospel out. Are we together? And we're grateful for that blessed reality. Glory to God forevermore. See, I am grateful for that blessed reality. Hallelujah. See, I am glad to be found in God's blessed work. See, I'm in that secret place. I'm in that secret place. I'm in Eden. I'm in that perfect plan. I'm in that secret plan. See, I see it. See, I see it. See, I see that secret plan that God has called me to function in. I see that sacred flesh which God has called me to dress and to keep. I see his plan. I see his plan. I see his plan. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, I see his glory. Yes. Because that plan is his glory. Hallelujah. And we are found in it. I see his glory. I see his glory. I see his glory.
Exodus, Egypt. Are we together? He went with his glory. The people saw his glory. Hallelujah. Say, my life is a place of God's intervention. Say, my life is a place of God's intervention. Say, my life, my life, my life, my life, my life, my life is a place of his intervention. Say, my life. Raise your voice and say, my life. My life, say my life is a place of God's intervention. Here I see his glory. Talk to your neighbor, here I see his glory. In your life, here I see God's glory. In your life, hallelujah. You know we can call Eden his glory. Can we call the garden of Eden his glory? So he has brought us into that garden. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! That means God's hand is upon me. God's grace is at work in my life. His wisdom is working in my life. Hallelujah! His glory in me. 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 Hallelujah! The mystery from Genesis. He says that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of his glory. Hallelujah. That means in a fresher way, ask me the power of God. Ask me the power of God. I am the house of his glory. I am the house of his glory. Hallelujah. Say, I am the house of his glory. I am the house of his glory. Say, I am the house of his glory. I ask his glory. I manifest his glory. I see his glory. I walk his glory. I speak his glory. I do his glory. I walk in his glory. Well, he lives as who? How am I? I see his glory.